Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. It's been more than 100 years since American women gained the right to vote with the passage of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. And we cannot discuss the 19th Amendment and the women's suffrage movement without talking about one of its most central figures, Susan B. Anthony. The amendment was named the Anthony Amendment in her honor. And years later, Anthony's stern image found a home on the United States dollar coin, replacing President Dwight Eisenhower. So how, in one century, did the woman who claimed failure is impossible go from espousing revolutionary ideas to becoming an honoree on U.S. currency? Born in Adams, Massachusetts, on February 15th of 1820, Anthony spent most of her childhood in New York. Her father's Quaker upbringing impressed upon her the belief that everyone is equal under God. She worked as a teacher in upstate New York during her 20s before returning home, where she became involved in the abolition movement, working alongside important figures like William Lloyd Garrison and Frederick Douglass. Along with abolishing slavery, Anthony also sought to rid the country of alcohol. She and her family were active in the temperance movement. When she was denied the chance to speak at a temperance meeting because she was a woman, she partnered with Elizabeth Cady Stanton and founded the Women's New York State Temperance Society in 1853. She had met Stanton, who had become a lifelong friend and collaborator, at an anti-slavery conference the previous year. At that point, Stanton had already given her famed Declaration of Sentiments speech at the Seneca Falls Convention in 1848. Anthony continued to be active in both movements. For example, during the Civil War, she helped collect more than 300,000 signatures on petitions to abolish slavery with a constitutional amendment. After the war, Anthony and Stanton founded the American Equal Rights Association in 1866. An organization initially aiming to secure equal rights and voting rights for all Black and white men and women in America. But the Reconstruction era was a sticky political time. There were fissures in the suffrage movement, with disagreement among activists over whether to focus on the easier goal of attaining Black men's rights first and then working on getting women the vote. Anthony's biographer, a contemporary journalist by the name of Ida Husted Harper, wrote that Anthony said, she would sooner cut off her right arm before she would ever work for or demand the ballot for the black man and not the woman. The split between the suffrage movement was deep, as are the roots of racism in America. Anthony and Stanton chose to oppose the 15th Amendment, which eventually did give black men the right to vote in 1870. Other activists, like Douglas and Lucy Stone, decried their decision, and the American Equal Rights Association disbanded in 1869. Anthony and Stanton formed the more radical National Woman Suffrage Association, and Lucy Stone started a rival group, the American Woman Suffrage Association. Stone and her group supported the 15th Amendment as a step in the right direction and focused on a state-by-state strategy to gain voting rights for women. By contrast, Anthony and Stanton's group sought voting and other rights for women, and a federal constitutional amendment to ensure them. Sort of a side note, Anthony was also an adopter of reform dress, which consisted of wearing bloomers and a shorter dress instead of the cumbersome woman's ensemble of the period, which could weigh up to 25 pounds. That's about 11 kilos. She even cut her hair short. But after criticism, Anthony determined that the dress distracted from the message and gave it up. Although she never had the opportunity to vote legally, Anthony cast a ballot in the 1872 presidential election, voting for Ulysses S. Grant. For this criminal act, she was arrested, tried, and fined $100. She never paid the fine. Anthony died in 1906, 14 years before the amendment she wanted was ratified. Before it, amendments allowing for income tax, the 16th, the popular election of senators, the 17th, and prohibition, the 18th, were added to the Constitution. Although several states had already legalized women's suffrage, on a national level, women gained the right to vote with the 19th Amendment's passing on August 18th of 1920. It reads, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation." Of course, merely having the law in place didn't make accessing that right easy for everyone. Native Americans weren't recognized as U.S. citizens with voting access until the Snyder Act of 1924. And all kinds of legal and social restrictions in the Jim Crow South excluded black women and men from the polls until the Voting Rights Act of 1965. But back to Anthony. For her contributions to the passage of what became the 19th Amendment, Anthony was the first non-mythical woman to appear on a U.S. coin. Figures like Miss Columbia and Lady Liberty had appeared on coins in the 1800s, and First Lady Martha Washington appeared on paper notes around the same time. But the Susan B. Anthony dollar was issued by the United States Mint in 1979 to replace the Eisenhower dollar. At that time, the second wave of the women's movement was underway, and the academic discipline of women's studies was in its infancy. Choosing Anthony as a founding figure for the movement and for the dollar coin emerged as a logical choice because she had been so committed to suffrage for so long. However, with a modest marketing campaign surrounding its launch and the coin's similarity in size to a quarter, her dollar was considered a flop within months, which was probably more related to the coin itself than to Anthony's image being on it. A suffragist, abolitionist, teetotaler, and renegade, Anthony never married or had children. And in case you're wondering, the B in Susan B. Anthony is for Brownell. There was a bit of a fad for middle initials during her youth, and she adopted the B in honor of the aunt she'd been named after, whose married name was Susan Brownell. Today's episode is based on the article Susan B. Anthony, Suffragist, Abolitionist, and Renegade on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Carrie Whitney. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos, You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.